Welcome to RAIN Today's Sales Tips and Techniques podcast. Hello, everyone. Welcome to RAIN Today's Sales Tips and Techniques podcast. I'm Michelle Davidson, editor of RAIN Today. And today I welcome Robert Pryor, author of the new book, Lean Selling. And in that, he discusses how to use the lean selling approach to shorten your sales cycle and drive profitable, predictable revenue growth by giving buyers what they really want. Robert is the managing director of business consulting firm CEO Cubed and the chief execution officer at Lean Selling System. And he's been a sales, marketing, and general management executive in the computer and IT industries for more than 30 years. And so his passion for lean thinking and sales methodologies has led him to write this book. So welcome, Robert. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me and for your interest in lean selling.
So in case people aren't familiar with lean thinking, I was wondering if you can tell us briefly what that is and the principles that are involved in that.
It all started after World War II when Toyota invented a revolutionary new automobile production methodology that they called the Toyota Production System, or abbreviated as TPS. And in 1990, a groundbreaking book called The Machine That Changed the World, authored by Jim Womack, Daniel Jones, and Daniel Ruse, based on a research study from MIT, brought the story of Toyota's innovative methodologies to the Western world. TPS, then dubbed Lean Manufacturing, was a primary contributor to Toyota famously surpassing General Motors in 2007 to become the global leader in automotive production. Then in 2003, Womack and Jones published a book called Lean Thinking that sought to distill the fundamental principles and common objectives of lean processes, not only in manufacturing, but in a myriad of other domains that lean had by then been applied to, especially when it came to service industries. They boiled down all things lean to five key principles in this book. And those were to specify value from the customer's perspective, to identify the steps that create the value, which was also called the value stream, to make things flow as quickly as possible, eliminating waste in the process of doing so, to respond to demand instead of simply creating supply, and to continuously improve forever. I view these five core principles as sort of a least common denominator when it comes to lean systems, and I adopted them as a template to enable me to create my book about how to apply lean thinking to the sales process.
Interesting. So what made you apply these principles to the sales process? Were you seeing anything in particular happening in the sales world or in business in general?
As you mentioned in the intro, I have a business consulting company called CEO Cubed that collaborates with CEOs on ways to move their companies forward. And one consistent theme I found in working with these CEOs is that they were never completely satisfied with the performance of their sales process. If there was one thing that was in common, that was it. But I also knew that the Internet was at the root of what was an historic shift in the power between buyers and sellers. But salespeople in their companies didn't seem to know how to respond to these changes. Now, I had previous experience with lean implementations in both manufacturing and software development, so I knew firsthand the dramatic improvements lean could bring to processes. And I believe that lean might be an antidote for what was ailing sales. So around June of last year, I started doing some internet research, trying to find out how lean thinking was now being applied to sales, because I figured by now it had to be very well embedded in sales. It was just such an obvious application for me. But to my surprise, I wasn't able to find anything substantive about how lean was applied to sales. I actually couldn't believe it. At one point, I thought my searches for lean selling and lean sales were being blocked or filtered by my ISP. I just couldn't believe that there was nothing out there, or very little. I mean, to be fair, there were numerous comments of people saying that they really thought there was a place for lean in sales, and a number of people had creative ideas about how different aspects of lean could be applied to different aspects of sales, but I didn't see anything that provided a comprehensive overview of how a company would go from where they were to being a lean selling company.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this was very surprising to me because by this time, lean had found its way into numerous domains outside of manufacturing and diverse domains, and these included service delivery of all types, health and hospital service delivery, software and other product development, accounting, entrepreneurialism, education, government, office administrative processes, even pharmaceutical regulatory approval. And the list goes on.
Mm-hmm.
It's truly amazing that lean thinking could be applied to so many diverse domains. And it's even more amazing that in every instance, the application of lean thinking exhibited breakthrough results. These lean implementations across industries and companies yielded results as dramatic as 90% reductions in process cycle times, 90%, 100% increases in productivity, 100% increases in quality. But the most amazing thing of all for me was that lean thinking had not yet found its way into mainstream sales. I simply couldn't understand why that was.
Mm-hmm.
And so my book was, in a way, my search to answer the question why that was.
Mm-hmm.
But there was another X factor that, in retrospect, probably made me uniquely qualified to connect the dots between lean thinking and sales. Beginning around 10 years ago, I successfully implemented a lean software development process in a company I was running. The results were startling. New product release times collapsed from 9 months to 1 week.
Wow.
Quality was so good that we went live with our cloud-based software each week without ever having a production glitch. Coupling this with my previous experiences in marketing and sales, I observed a pattern where most sales processes exhibited the same chronic problems as I saw in software development processes. These included unpredictability, failure to provide what the customer or buyer wanted,
mm-hmm.
And lots of waste.
Hmm.
It was then that the light went on for me. I became convinced that the same lean thinking that could solve the chronic problems with software development must be able to solve these same problems in the sales process. As I said, I had a very unique collection of experiences that allowed me to make these connections.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that lean selling had a place in sales because ultimately sales is a process and lean is the best methodology I knew of to improve processes. That's when I decided to write a book about how to apply lean to sales and called it Lean Selling.
What kind of waste were you seeing in sales?
One of the huge wastes in sales is time. And, of course, in sales, time is money.
Mm-hmm.
So cycle times are getting longer,
mm-hmm.
and the time that buyers are spending in the process is getting longer. And, of course, that's expensive for companies, but it's also expensive for buyers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really waste because it's not necessary. There are ways to do things faster. There's ways to do things better and to provide what the buyer or customer is really looking for.
Mm-hmm. So talking about lean selling now, can you tell us what some of those objectives are?
Lean implementations of any kind always start with a deep dive into what specific value a company provides to its customers. However, this value is determined very differently than with traditional methods of doing this because value in lean is solely determined by the customer. customer decides what value is, not the providing organization.
Mm-hmm.
So the objective of any lean process is to make things go faster, reduce and eliminate waste, and create a sustainable, continuously improving system.
Mm-hmm.
Waste in lean thinking is defined as anything that you do in your process that does not provide value in the customer's eyes. In the case of sales, a lean process improvement would target important, valuable objectives like reducing sales cycle time and making sales cycles and sales closures more predictable. The key to achieving all of this is fundamentally giving customers what they really want.
So when companies implement lean selling concepts, what have been the results?
In general, adopting a lean approach to selling provides the following types of benefits for a company: dramatically shorter sales cycles, much better sales forecasting and revenue predictability, higher margins and profits, more satisfied and loyal customers, and very strategically, a sustainable competitive differentiation for the company that goes beyond the product or the service that they provide. One example I talk about in the book involves a company in the business services industry that has been able to increase their sales closure rate with prospects to twice the industry average using lean selling techniques. Another is a major global pharmaceutical firm that used lean selling to reduce its sales waste by 25%, increase sales productivity by 40%, and reduce its sales cycle time by a third.
Those are great statistics there.
They are. Very important and valuable statistics.
Yes.
They
yes.
translate into a lot of money saved.
Mm-hmm. So in your book, you've got a section titled, Are Salespeople Becoming Obsolete? And I've actually seen people asking about this and writing about this lately. So with buyers able to learn so much about a product or a service before even talking to a salesperson, sometimes even making purchases without the need for a salesperson, it might feel like they are becoming obsolete. So what can they do then to add value?
Michelle, the irony of this trend that you note is that as buyers are becoming more inclined to self-service buying of products and services, sales cycles are actually slowing down, not speeding up. This is just the opposite of what you would expect.
Yeah.
In fact, it's sort of a mystery. But in fact, I've had many people tell me that the percentage of buyers that make no decision, that is, they buy from no one by the end of the sales process, is actually going up.
Huh.
In certain industries, that rate is as high as 70%, which means that only 30% of the prospects that come into your sales funnel will buy anything from anybody.
Hmm.
But to your question about sales obsolescence, buyers have changed. What buyers want and how they want it has evolved.
Mm-hmm.
In order for salespeople to stay relevant, they have to understand more deeply than ever what buyers really want and find new ways to provide it so they can become increasingly relevant once again to buyers.
Mm-hmm.
But there's good news here. It's not all bad news. The
mm-hmm.
good news for sellers, and I write about this in the book, is that buyers today are looking for more than simply a company's product or service. They have additional requirements that salespeople are in the best position to satisfy if they take the time and the companies take the time to figure out what that is.
Mm-hmm.
There's simply a disconnect today between what buyers want and what salespeople are giving them.
Mm-hmm.
This could explain, in part, the reason for longer sales cycles and the increasing percentage of sales engagements that end in no decision or status quo.
Mm-hmm. Now, you talked about a little earlier, and you also write about in your book, sales as a service. So I was wondering if you could talk a little bit more about that, explain what that means.
Well, when I started thinking about how to apply lean thinking to sales, principles of lean thinking to the sales process, I knew it wasn't going to work unless we looked at the sales process in a dramatically new way. and that is as creating something of value for a customer, or in this case, a buyer. The buyer engages with a company and its salespeople because the buyer has a requirement or a desire for the company's product or service. This is well understood. Everyone knows that. What's not as well understood is that the buyer requires something else from engaging with a seller, and that something else is why they engage with the salesperson at all. It's something that the internet can't give them. From this perspective, the buyer is actually buying two things: a product or service that the company provides, and a selling service that helps him or her to buy it quickly and confidently. But no traditional sales training identifies the second aspect of selling as a service. Now, some people may object to my line of thinking and say that a buyer doesn't buy a sales service because it's free. But it's not free. Buyers pay for it with the time and emotional energy they invest by engaging with a seller. That cost became too high for most buyers because sellers were not focused on what buyers truly valued. As a result, when buyers thought that there was an alternative to expensive sales engagements that was offered by the internet, they jumped ship and decided to try self-service buying. And that brings us to where we are today. The only way to turn around the sorry state of affairs that sellers everywhere are facing is to completely transform our view of what salespeople do. Companies invest heavily in improving customer service and closely monitor approval ratings. When is the last time you heard of a company investing in improving and monitoring approval of its sales service? What does customer service call before a buyer becomes a customer? Why do companies strive to provide excellent customer service but not excellent buyer service? Why do we provide a service to customers but not buyers? I was speaking yesterday with a man who has a very accomplished sales and marketing career for several decades. He somehow came across and read my book. He told me he has been, in his own way, aiming to practice many of the principles in my book, but his biggest aha moment from the book, for him, was when I made the argument that sales is a service. He told me it was something he always felt, but never quite verbalized in that way. Recasting sales as a service to the buyer rather than a service to the company changes everything. It allows for the investigation into what constitutes value for a buyer and creates the opportunity to transform the sales process to deliver it as quickly, painlessly, and efficiently as possible.
Well, you make a great case for this. So if people listening are interested in this type of system and in transitioning to a lean system, how do they get started?
Well, thank you, Michelle. In the last two chapters of my book, I first provide a few lean selling exercises that a company can do to dip its toe into the lean selling waters. There are separate, fun, lean selling exercises for senior executives, for sales managers, and for salespeople. These are exercises that an organization should be able to do without any outside help. The final chapter of the book details a more comprehensive step-by-step 90-day plan for an organization that wants to pursue a lean selling transformation. There is a resource section in the back of the book for companies that want to consider engaging outside help to execute this transformation as well. But to just learn more about lean selling today, people can join the Lean Selling group on LinkedIn. And they can follow us on Twitter, at Lean Selling. And also, there is a sales process self-assessment in the book, but it is also available for free online at our website, leansellingbook.com. This simple 10-question assessment will tell you where your selling system stands compared to other organizations. I also offer a free one-on-one 15-minute phone chat for anyone who wants to talk to me personally about how they can get started with lean selling or want to share their selling experiences with me. Your listeners can schedule an appointment with me also on the website, leansellingbook.com.
All right. Well, you've got lots of resources there. That's fantastic. So before we leave, any final comments or advice for our listeners?
Well, lean selling is new, but it's sorely needed today. And I truly believe that companies that become the early adopters of the ideas and practices of lean selling have an opportunity to really distance themselves from their competitors and achieve a sustainable advantage based solely on the way they sell and support buyers in the buying process.
All right, great. Well, thanks for joining us today, Robert.
You're very welcome. Thank you for your interest and the opportunity to share lean selling with your listeners.
And a quick note to our listeners, if you want to learn more about Robert and his book, again, the title is Lean Selling. You can visit leansellingbook.com, like he mentioned. So thank you again, Robert, and thank you to everyone for listening to RAIN Today's Sales Tips and Techniques podcast.